Hey y'all, I'm Chris, and this is Sweet Reality. On this week's episode, we have 6-time Emmy Award-winning NBC Philadelphia news anchor Keith Jones here to talk about all the latest with the most recent Bachelor couples. Lots of tea was spilled, so let's get right to it.
Today I'm here with Keith Jones, 6-time Emmy-winning NBC Philadelphia anchor. Keith, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for that intro.
Of course. Now, I want to get all your thoughts on everything going on in Bachelor Nation.
It's so funny. Of all the things that people talk to me about, usually it's like coronavirus or it's the cultural movement happening. This is something I could finally come out and talk about, is my love of reality television and a recent fan, I guess I should say, of the Bachelor Nation. Yeah.
Exactly. Who cares about all that coronavirus crap? I want to get to the real news, okay?
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. You know what? What's so interesting about my job every single day is obviously we are talking constantly about very serious topics, and we're a service to viewers and we make sure we get them great information. But at the same time, during our hour-long newscast, we've got to find opportunities to be positive and to show more positivity and to, you know, talk about some of the good things going on in the world. So I'll take any opportunity I can get, even if that means, you know, talking about Bachelor.
Exactly. So how updated are you on everything that happened postseason for Peter?
Gosh, so the last that I'd heard of that was, well, there was the whole conspiracy that it could be the producer that he was with at the end. I saw that New Year's Eve picture. I remember that. So not too versed in post-Bachelor status of, you know, Pilot Pete.
Yeah, well, he chose Hannah Ann.
Yeah.
Then he dumped Hannah Ann. Then there was this thing that he was trying, I don't know what him and Madison were trying to do.
See, I was a huge fan of Madison. I love Madison. Really.
What was it about Madison?
You know what it is? Because she seemed like she was actually in it for the right reasons. Like, I don't know. I go into it as like a skeptical viewer. I look at all these shows like social experiments, like putting all these people on TV, which is a crazy thing. They probably tape at the craziest hours. I know like most of that first show goes like late overnight. So by the time the rose ceremony happens, like, it's like, what, 5 o'clock in the morning or something. So they're exhausted. They're probably doing hours of interviews and they're only going to take like snippets of it. And it's only to, you know, feed a narrative, because obviously they've got to tell a story. But when I looked through the weeds of all that and I saw Madison, I was like, oh, you know, this is a girl who seems to be in it for the right reasons, albeit she's on a television show. But at least she had morals and she stuck by them. She had values. And, you know, we can all knock like whether we think that she was right or wrong, but she had them. And it's like, you know what? I respect a person like that.
Right. I can see that. Well, Peter's mom absolutely hated her. So
That was not good. That was not good at all.
Yeah, that wasn't going anywhere fast. So now he's actually dating Kelly. I don't know if you remember Kelly, who came in fourth place, the lawyer.
Kelly? Oh, the one he met beforehand, right? When they were like, and something happened beforehand too. Like they knew each other more than know each other. Like they knew each other. Yeah. Because they talked about it in a hotel and like, oh, we saw each other in the lobby. I was like, wait, what? Christopher, what's going on?
Right. I definitely think something happened there. Now the latest with them is that they're moving to New York together. Thoughts?
Oh, wow. So they're at, okay. You know what? Well, here's the crazy thing. So if you think about it, like I always try to put myself in the shoes of one of these, whether I'm on like the contestant side or in his shoes. I think his shoes are like, it's the craziest thing in the world to have to negotiate all these personalities and be honest with everybody too. I think it takes a big person. It makes the most sense though for the two of them to have established some kind of connection outside of the show, to have gone through the process of the show, and then afterwards realize like, oh, hey, all along there was this person that I probably actually connected with outside of television cameras and the pressures of like having to somehow perform. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like we went through that whole season and it was kind of like a waste because...
That's true, too. That's true. Ultimately, at the end of the day, all broadcasters do, we tell stories, and we tell true stories, and the veracity and the quality of those stories makes us successful. But yeah, when we watch like anything, we can read a book, when we consume a soap opera, or watch The Bachelor, like we want a beginning, middle, and an end to a story. So yeah, you're right. Like, it does stink when the ending isn't the ending. When it's like, oh, there was a sequel and everything you just watched doesn't matter. It's like, what? Huh? They were asleep the whole time and this was all a dream? You know, like, it was one of those. It's not good.
Yeah, and I feel like that's been happening on The Bachelor, like, the last few seasons, including Colton and Cassie's season. What did you think about their ending?
Well, I think he actually had a legit human reaction to the pressure of what it is to be on that show. He's like, I gotta get out of here. I'm hopping the fence. They built that up like crazy. I love Chris Harrison during all that. Like, I just imagine him on standby in a shack, like, you know, just off camera and like, all right, Chris, wake up. We gotta go chase this guy. And he's like, what happened?
Chris Harrison has like the dream job.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Like, if I ever had an opportunity to do something like that, I would jump in a heartbeat. Because, and it's not easy. I think to be likable in those kinds of situations, I think, is difficult. He does it really, really well. But oh my God, is it awesome. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, he's not talking about a pandemic. He's talking about love and relationships. And, you know, he's saying, hey, this is the final rose. Like, that's his gig. Like, it's the greatest.
Are you shocked to hear that Colton and Cassie have broken up?
No, see, that stuff doesn't surprise me at all, unfortunately. Regardless of, like, how strong I think the relationship is, the fact that it grew, and not to say it can't grow on a television show or a reality show, because obviously it's happened, and there have been some successful relationships, but they're few and far between, I think, just because the way I relate to it is, like, if I was The Bachelor, and if I am dating all of these women, and every date is like this really expensive. It's a helicopter ride. It's a spa for 24 hours or for 3 days in a row at the nicest resort. And it's like, and then all of a sudden you get back to my life and it's like, I can't provide any of these things. Like, you need to know me for, you know, for my heart. And you gotta, you know, cherish me for that and be a fan of me in that way. Whereas the TV show, probably leading up to even that first day of shooting, they're building up this contestant. The other thing too, which is wild, is I don't think these contestants know who the bachelor or bachelorette's going to be before they sign up, which is crazy if you think about that. Like, you got to get lucky that you're attracted to the person that they choose. So I'm sure the producers are building up this person during the lead up to the first shoot, because the reactions from the women or the men on the bachelorette seem genuine when they first see the person come out, you know?
Yeah, and I think some people get lucky and some people definitely don't. Like, I remember Demi from Colton's season.
I loved her.
I freaking love her so much. She even said that she was disappointed when she realized that it was going to be that she was on Colton's season.
Oh, see, that's interesting. She was always so honest. That's why I liked her. Like, I love authentic people. I think it's really hard to be authentic too, especially on national TV when the scrutiny is so high. And she had some, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't she have some legitimate, like, parental issues, I think, her mother, right? And she had even, like, tried to work something out with her mom and opened up about it with him. And I think he handled it okay. I don't think she lasted much longer after that. But no, to, like, open yourself up like that, and yet to still be who you are is really impressive. But yeah, I liked her. I'm trying to think that season who my favorite was.
I think mine was Demi. Demi, Hannah G, and
Tayshia. Yeah, Hannah G was beautiful. Not to say that they're all not beautiful. No, yeah, I liked Demi. Yeah, I liked Demi because she seemed to say whatever was on the top of her head. Like, she's a dream if you're a producer of one of those reality shows.
Yeah. Well, everything that happened with Colton and Cassie, I just want to update you a little bit. So they broke up. Well, first he got coronavirus.
Oh, he did? Oh, my God. He's fine. He's fine, right?
Yes, okay. He's fine.
Jeez. He's fine. Oh, so you were like, you're totally caught up, like, recent times. Okay, good.
Yes. So he got coronavirus. He was, like, one of the first, like, celebrities to get it.
Wow.
So then he was quarantining at Cassie's house with her family.
Wow.
Then they broke up and everyone assumed that they had broken up because of the strain of their relationship after, you know, he was quarantined with her family. But she went on Bachelor Greatest of All Time, which is a show that they're doing now that is recapping all the greatest seasons because of COVID. They couldn't film Bachelorette when they wanted to at this time. So they have the GOAT coming on.
Yeah.
Anyways, she does an interview with Bachelor GOAT where she's ask these questions about their breakup, and she clearly doesn't want to really go in depth to it, but Chris Harrison, of course, the star that he is.
He's probing, yeah.
Yes, he's probing. He even asked her at one point, are you nervous because you don't want Colton to get mad? And she's like, yes, that's exactly why I'm, you know, nervous. Well, Colton did get mad. Colton posted on his Instagram story. Well, he actually did an Instagram post that really offended Cassie, because at one point he was basically saying sarcastically, like, well, we agreed to keep our relationship private. That obviously changed this week. So Cassie went on her story and on her Instagram story and basically complained because Colton had just released an autobiography, but now he's adding a new chapter, which is going to update, you know, I guess on the COVID and the breakup.
Yeah, that's enough.
Right. So she's saying that he's upset about her publicly speaking out, but he's basically monetizing their breakup. And she also said that there was more obviously talked about. Like, she basically said that she talked about the episode of GOAT more than she talked about Colton, but the way that they edited it.
Sure.
They only put that part on, which, I mean, come on, girl, you should have known that that's what they were going to do.
Right.
And I always thought that they were a mismatch, because the reason why he jumped the fence was because she broke up with him and she left.
Right.
So she never wanted him to begin with, basically. Exactly. So a relationship like that where one person wants the other person more, it's never going to go good.
No, it's never good. Yeah, I've always thought in relationships too, like, people show you how they feel. They can say whatever they want. It's really nice and you should cherish them for their word, but it's just their word. But yeah, and it's funny, like, as much as we can laugh and joke about some of the things that happen on these reality shows, like, these are real human beings, and the reason we connect with them is because they do human things. You know, it's like, oh, I'm relatable, or she's relatable, and I can relate to what he's doing, and so on and so forth. But I don't know if I would ever agree to be on a show like that. I don't care what the money is. Would you ever do that? Would you, just for the experience, because you're such a fan, would you do it?
I don't think that I would do, and that's funny that you asked me that, because I was going to ask you if you would ever be the Bachelor. But I don't think I would do it. I think I could, the only reality show that I can see myself doing is the Netflix show called The Circle, which is where they compete. You're in a room, you're sequestered, you're in a room by yourself, like in an apartment by yourself, and you all are competing against each other on social media. Yeah, and you can catfish, you can be your true self, but it's all strategic and stuff. That's the easiest one, I think, because I don't have to deal with anybody else. No personal stuff about me is probably ever really going to come out.
Right.
And it's just a clean, safe, fun, really. That's the one that I would do. Yeah.
It's interesting. So it's almost like a double-edged sword with The Bachelor. I guess I would consider it only because it seems that they have it. You can go two ways. Like, you can have a career afterwards. Like, it certainly, like, boosts your your fame, if you want to call it that much, like social media following, and you're probably booked for events and appearances. I imagine it's short-lived though, unless you're somebody who's like super authentic, but you're up to like the public scrutiny of you has got to be through the roof, especially if you're a woman. I think, at least in terms of my business, men definitely get a pass with regard to appearance. Like, the emails and even the handwritten letters that get sent to the women who are on air in my business are like just, it's absurd. It's disgusting. So I can only imagine in the social media age what those ladies, whether she's the Bachelorette or she's, you know, among the group on The Bachelor, like, it's got to be absurd. And I would hate that. Plus, it's like, you know what, at my age now, my mid-30s, I don't know. I mean, if I was in my 20s, for sure, I would be much more inclined to do it. Now it's like, no, I am looking for something that is more serious and worthwhile. And I'd be worried the whole time. You alluded to it before, like, whether or not that person was pursuing me because of the TV show and the pressure on her, too, to present the best version of herself, or whether she loved me for me. So. Yeah.
Are you going to watch the first Black Bachelor, Matt James, when his season airs?
Of course. Yeah, you can't pull me away at this point. I like it.
Right. Did you know that Flavor of Love was almost called the Blackchler? Because they thought...
Are you serious?
They thought that it was a nod to the fact that there was never going to be an actual Black Bachelor. So Flavor Flav was the closest thing.
Thank God he wasn't the first one, though. Oh, my God. Like, listen, I love the man. Let me preface that. He was a great character on that show. He is not the greatest man, I will say that. He certainly has had things come out about him throughout his career and his life, especially post that show, that have not been the most stand-up of human beings. But I think he's one of my favorite TV show characters of all time on that show. Like, I think that's the pinnacle of reality television. Season 2, episode 1, is like the height of what television will be. I don't know if you remember what happens in that episode with something. As she's like going up the stairs, like you can't write something like this. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Was that okay? I thought season 2, episode 1 was when Safari and the white girl got into the fight about the bid. Is that does something poop herself in the same episode that happened?
I gotta look this up now. I'm pretty sure. It's so funny. I wasn't sure how far to go with it, but it's so funny. Something, right? Wasn't that her name? Something.
Mm-hmm.
Flavor of Love.
Wow. What a jam-packed episode.
It's right. Okay, season 2. And it's let's see. Yeah, it's first aired August 6th, 2006. It's the first episode of season 2.
So we have a huge fight over a bed. We have something pooping on herself, and this is all in the premiere.
It's all in the premiere. Like, as soon as I saw that, I said, they're not topping this moment. Like, you could put an uncooked turkey into a microwave, and it still won't top that, the ending to that episode. Like, let's talk first of all. Like, you can never have this show in 2020, because the first episode was him sitting in usually like this chair behind a little, almost like a folding table, where he's like renaming them. The most like offensive names based on just physical appearance. it's terrible. But I just love the characters. Like, who was the driver of his that was almost like the bodyguard to him?
Oh my God. I remember this guy,
I ended up coming away from that show like loving that guy. Like, he was for real, like he what the heck was his name?
Didn't he follow New York to New York show as
yes,
well?
Yes. Okay. Big Rick, because Big Rick was breaking up fights. Like, he was always, like, right in the middle of things. And obviously, like, you know, Hoops and – wait, no, it was Pumpkin and New York. Spitting, right? That was season 1?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's, like, one of my favorite shows.
And I always love when New York comes back. Like, I think my favorite run of episodes of that series is when New York comes back season 2 and she's, like, all slim and, like, ready to go. And she's, like, telling the girls how it is. I love how giddy you get about this.
I do. No, because this is, like, my favorite show.
I feel like you can rewatch this show at any time, and it's amazing.
I know. But no, she was like, she's also one of the greatest characters on that show, and her mom is like diabolical. Like, it's the best.
Sister Patterson.
Yeah, and she does not look like she could be her mom. She looks fantastic is the other thing too. But oh my goodness, is that woman very intense.
Yeah, very intense. I'm trying to think of one of my favorite Sister Patterson moments. Oh my gosh, there's just so many.
I didn't even know she was Sister Patterson. That's great.
Do you remember? Okay, I just thought of a really good one that just comes to mind. Do you remember the little person that was on New York? And Sister Patterson gets out of the car and immediately shrieks when she sees the little person.
No, I don't remember that. Oh my God. This is on the show. This is on,
I
Love New York. Okay. You know, I'm not as familiar with I Love New York.
But it goes in line with what you're saying, where it's like these shows that could not happen today.
Yeah, like I think a lot of these reality TV shows get accused of being like written and like scripted. And I think to a certain extent, a lot of things are pre-produced, or at least they're set up to be, to kind of encourage conflict. And I'm sure there's some reality shows like The Kardashians and like that there is some stuff that's written. I think that's actually come out too. But my whole thing was like when I watched Flavor of Love, I'm like, who is this crazy sick person writing this? You know what I mean? Yeah, like this person is either brilliant or they're brilliantly out of their mind. You know what I mean? It's amazing.
Right. Because I'm sure some of the stuff was written, as you said, but some, yeah. a lot, 99, I'm pretty sure, well, probably over 95% of the stuff that happened on that show was just these people just being amazing lunatics. Yeah.
And you know what? I think the success of that show was because they were themselves, too. Like, I think people are super smart when we watch TV. It doesn't matter, like, don't even think about IQ, but, like, we know as human beings when somebody's being fake. It doesn't take an intelligent person to pick up on the nonverbals or even the, you know, the kind of the verbal tells. And I think when you watch that show, you're like, these people are exactly who they are. And again, it's probably the same kind of format as The Bachelor, where it's like the cameras are on constantly and they're all wearing microphones and they all know it. So they might be exhausted. They might be tired. They, you know, they're also probably wondering, like you said, like they're probably wondering, oh, I wonder how this is going to be spun into some narrative and, you know.
Bachelor Listen to Your Heart was this really weird show. Entertaining, but I can't say if it was entertaining to me because I was stuck. It was in the midst of quarantine that the show premiered.
Okay, so that's probably why, because I was busy. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and so I was at home a lot. So I was looking forward to this really weird show. And I was entertained by it, but at some point, it was like at first based on love, but then as the show got towards the finale, it then changed into American Idol. And now if you are not connecting with your part, like your musical partner, then you can't stay.
Right,
so it's basically love and about who has the best musical connection. It was a weird little show.
It was
interesting though. You might like that one though.
Okay. I gotta go back and watch that. I've got my homework now. This is good. That, and I'm going to watch I Love New York too. Cause I have
yes.
to, I gotta find it. Is it on like Hulu or something? It must be.
I think I Love New York is definitely on Hulu.
All right, man. And I might have to go back and watch Flavor of Love again, too. My God. There's like, I'm not as familiar with the third season of that. I might have to go back and watch the third season. I forgot there was one. I just know the first two were stellar.
Did you see season three?
I don't remember. That's the thing. It doesn't seem to ring a bell.
Remember thing one and thing two?
I remember hearing about thing one. Yeah, maybe I did watch it. Nothing can top season two, episode one, though. Like, it just all goes downhill from there. Him and the Viking horns and the giant clock, like, he's the best. He's the, like, if there was one if I had an opportunity to sit down at dinner with, like, five living people, he actually might be one of them, like, for real. That's how, and because he must be like the most, I just want to pick his brain, like from his rapping days, like even from that, like, because if you think back even then, like, that was a risky thing to do. Like, it's a divisive thing where our culture wasn't even like, it's not the same way now where like rap was accepted or even like that kind of experience was something that was in the Americana. You know what I mean?
And yeah, because he was in Public Enemy.
Right, exactly.
Hardcore.
I mean, just like, yeah, think about like this. I mean, some of the songs, like I think of one of them, obviously, you know, with this police reform, like are still played out here at these protests. Like for someone to have been that ahead of the curve, and not that he was ahead of the ball, because obviously it was an issue that was going on probably even worse then, but to still have a rallying cry that's like just as relevant, unfortunately, 30 years later, whatever it was, is pretty amazing. So yeah, I think I want to pick his brain. Like there's so many chapters of his life that are just like, how? And then the other thing, sorry to keep your time, is he was like 50 when he was on that show. He was an older guy.
and the women were so, I mean, I think I saw from one person's brother, like that was on the show that, you know, she actually allegedly got voted, like taken off the show or, you know, her clock got taken. She didn't get a clock. Is that how he gave her
yes,
a
yes.
clock? She didn't get a clock that week because she thought he was gross and she didn't want to go any further with him.
No.
So, you know, so I don't know how a lot of those women faked it. I mean, New York acted like she lost the love of her life both times.
Oh, yeah.
She came in second place.
Definitely. But definitely.
I don't see the appeal.
Yeah. The other thing that was crazy was like Hoops wins. Then she dated Shaq for a while. Like it was amazing. For a long time. And the crazy thing is the pictures of those two together are wild. Cause I didn't realize Hoops was so short. And maybe it's because she's standing next to Shaq too. I was like, this is crazy. Like this is great.
Hoops might not even be 5 feet. I completely forgot that her and Shaq were an item.
Yeah. It's awesome. Oh.
Well, speaking of items, did you know Colton is now dating, well, allegedly dating Lucy Hale?
No, I didn't know that. Wow.
TMZ has seen them on a lot of hiking dates recently.
Jeez.
Yeah. That's
crazy, man.
And she had previously said before that she thought that he would be a great bachelor because, well, hold on, I have the exact quote here.
good.
She previously said she thought he'd make a good bachelor because he's a wholesome and beautiful good guy.
Hmm, that's a very nice thing to say about somebody. It's great.
Yeah. Well, good for Colton.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Keith Jones.
Of course. You're the man, Chris. This has been really fun.
I had a great time chatting with Keith Jones. He's super into reality TV. It's really funny to see him get all giddy about Flavor of Love and all those old shows. And he gives a really interesting perspective on The Bachelor, so I can't wait to have him back for when Matt James' season starts. And he's not really that big on The Bachelorette, but with all the drama going on this season on The Bachelorette, I'm sure that we can get him hooked on that too. Next week, we're talking everything Netflix. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and leave a 5-star review. Also, follow me on social media at Home Binging on Twitter and IG.ChrisW on Instagram. You can also follow the Sweet Reality YouTube page for even more video clips and exclusive Sweet Reality content. Sweet dreams.